You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. That's number one. Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome back to another Inside Ben Davis Football, live from Arby's in a game that we have plenty to talk about. But first, let's meet who we have here. Again, I'm Lamon Durden. I'm joined here by Jeff Robinson. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Just got through eating one of the three cheese and bacon sandwiches from Arby's here. And great dinner.
I'm also joined here by John Easter. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, and I want to compliment Arby's. They're great to us, so really appreciate them having us here.
And, of course, the man of the hour, Mike Kirshner. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, but I don't like that opening comment that we got a lot to talk about. It depends on your perspective. You assume we have a lot to talk about. I'm not so sure I want to talk.
Well, the lowdown about it, 53-50 was the final score of the game between Ben Davis Giants and the Pike Red Devils this last Friday and Saturday. Storms took us out of action at 1:44 left in the game on Saturday. Why don't you go ahead and start us off by telling us what you thought of the game, and especially with the fact that it was two nights.
The game, really, we started off sloppy. You know, we had a couple offensive penalties, and then we turned it over, and then we had a couple defensive penalties, and kind of settled down. And then once we settled down, we kind of got going. You know, we scored, and we scored, and we scored, and, you know, we're kind of rolling, and then they get a touchdown, and then we score again right before half, and you're up 28-7, and you're feeling pretty good. And then you kick off, and they run the kickoff back on you. And what's even worse is we had the kid hit and tackled at the 20, and the kid kind of fell to the ground when he hit him, and the other four kids stood there and watched him, and their kid made a great play, and momentum kind of shifted a little bit. You know, it's 28-14, but you're still feeling like, all right, you're in pretty good shape. You know, you've scored four touchdowns. You have 280 yards in offense. They've only got one offensive touchdown. You're not in too bad a shape. You come out second half and you score, and you miss the extra point. And you just kind of it was weird, man. You're up 34-14 and you're feeling pretty good. There's 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, but you know it's a weird game. Coach Moyers does a great job coaching his kids, and he changed his scheme a little bit in the second half. And the average person in the stands wouldn't. We're getting all kinds of pressure on them in the first half, and they weren't able to run their offense, their option pass game, and they really weren't able to run the ball at all. And he says, look, we can't, our quarterback just can't roll out. He's going to get beat up. And so they caught the snap and threw it as fast as they could, and our secondary didn't respond, and they rip us for an 80-yard score, and all of a sudden it's 34-20, and you're still okay. I mean, it's 34-21. You're up 13. They really haven't stopped us offensively. And, you know, and then we kind of sputtered on offense a little bit, you know. And next thing you know, it's 34-28. And then it's 34-30. Then it's 36-34. In a matter of about 3 minutes of game time, we went from up 20 to down 2. And you're sitting there looking at it going, how'd you just do that? You know, and we got on our heels. We didn't respond. Well, then, you know, then a little bit of our character of our kids, our offense responds, goes down and scores. We make it, I don't remember, we might have missed another extra point there. Yeah, I think it was. I think we missed, no, I don't remember. Our extra points were bad. It got ugly. You know, but we go back up. I think it's 40-36. You know, then they come out and run one play and score again. I mean, there was no drives. It was just 80 yards. And we obviously were getting pretty frustrated. And then our offense did a nice job. We lost the lead, got the lead back at 46-43, stopped them with an interception, give the offense great field position. You know, they're driving in. We're first and goal at the 5. We don't get it on first down. We don't get it on second down. I know everybody's asking, why didn't you run that? Why didn't you run that? Well, we wanted them to burn their timeouts. We wanted to use some time on the clock. We knew our defense wasn't doing very well. And so we elected not to kick the field goal because we'd already missed extra points and field goals enough to make me sick. And then on fourth down, we decided to go ahead and throw it. And it was, you know, I'm going to lead to something here on Saturday. It was a great throw. Hit him right in the chest, and he drops it. I mean, that would have put us up 10, game over. He drops it. All right, well, you're still thinking you're in pretty good shape. They got to go 95 yards, all right? You know, minute, 2 minutes going to game, they got to go 95 yards. We're all right. You know, no, we're not. You know, the first down's incomplete. The second one goes 95 yards. You know, and the safety comes flying up like he's going to make this great play. Just tackle the dude. Don't go for the ball. Just tackle him. They got to go 95 yards, which they did. So they jump back. Momentum shifted. They kick off. There's 2:01 left. They kick off. And we get the ball at the 20. And Kyle makes one bad decision all night, and he throws it to them. You know, you can look at it two ways. You can say it's a bad decision. You can look at it as a completion. You know, but either way, it wasn't good. They get the ball at our 17, and you could see the storms changing. The clouds are coming. We hold them on first down, burn a timeout. Hold them on second down, burn a timeout. And all of a sudden, they call the game. You know, they send us to a locker room, which might have actually worked to our advantage. You know, we got them in the locker room. Our kids were all pointing fingers. We took them home. I'm not making this up. I stayed up till 2:30 in the morning. I did all the laundry for the entire team. Got home about 2:30, showered, slept for a couple hours, got back up, came into school. Got them in. The offensive coaches did a great job. We got them in early that morning and said, all right, here's what you're going to do. We're going to run 1-4. We're going to get the ball back. We know we're getting it back, okay? But we're going to get it back, and you're going to run one formation, and these are the only two plays we're going to run, and just walk down and execute it. I got them in before the game, and I said, here's the bottom line. We haven't played our best football. You got a choice. You can either lay down and die, or you can play a minute and 44 of the best football you've ever played in your entire life. That's all that matters. We went out and warmed up in the rain, and I thought we had a pickup in our step, something. We just looked different. And defense held them on third down. They let the clock run all the way down, take the five-yard penalty. On fourth down, you know, we missed the pass on fourth down on Friday night. He drops the pass on. He was open. I mean, it's touchdown, game over. He drops it. So it kind of balanced. You know, I know the other side says, well, if we'd have caught it, well, if we'd have caught it Friday night, it wouldn't have mattered. You know, so it all plays out. And we get the ball at the 22, and we complete a pass. And we complete a pass, and we're across midfield. We get a pass interference call. We complete another pass. We miss a pass. We throw a touchdown, and we win. And it's like, well, that was easy. You know, I mean, with all that being said, it was a nightmare. From a coaching standpoint, it was an absolute nightmare Friday night. I mean, I've been through games like that. You know, I'll take John back to 2004, Tom Allen's first year. We're up 24-7 at North Central.
Yeah.
We come out and score right away. We're up 17-7, scored right away, up 24-7. We're just cruising on defense, and all of a sudden, he starts dinking and dunking us. All the way. We lose 40-39. You know, Tom Allen's kept grabbing me after the game. What happened? You saw it. We couldn't defend him. You know, sometimes crap happens. You know, now, do we have to fix that crap? Absolutely. And if we don't, you know, it may not be what it's supposed to be. I don't know. Our kids got to get better. There's no question.
I'll give you an easy one here. Let you talk about a pleasant part.
Softball coming here.
But how much of a pleasure is it to coach a quarterback like Kyle Kastner whenever he can execute a drive like that to finish out a game?
Well, shoot, life's easy. I mean, the kid – excuse me.
Get you choked up.
the kid just knows how to play. He's a competitor. You can tell he's had 3 years of growth. I mean, there was a time a couple years ago this would have rattled him. Honestly, he walked out on Saturday morning and says, let's just go play football. And it was, and that's what he did. He just started throwing it around. He knew who was going to be open. Based, you know, we kind of got an idea what they were going to come out and do. We kind of seen from the games before, and they did that. They brought a three-man rush, very good defense, dropped eight into coverage, but there's even in eight, there's holes. And our receivers did a good job of catching it and breaking some tackles. And here's the thing people don't realize. Every throw was designed to be a first down. And so every time you threw it, you got a first down, and the clock stopped. So we were using as little clock as humanly possible, because all the way versus trying to catch a five-yard route and get out of bounds, everything was designed for 10. which is really smart because we didn't have any timeouts. They needed to tackle us and get that clock moving and get us in a bind, and it just never happened.
I got to give John Easter some credit. I wasn't there on Saturday, but I did get to see the tape of the finish of the game there, that final drive, and John had that posted on Gridiron Digest for anybody wanting to see the way that game finished. I thought Kyle was spectacular.
Yeah, it
running
was,
that drive.
It was. I guess it went. We were trending on Twitter. I don't know exactly what that means, but that's the kids told me. Once it started going out there, everybody was just going nuts because everybody left that night thinking we had lost.
Right.
You know, the reality of it is that doesn't happen very often. You know.
Well, you know, now you've done it 2 years in a row with Pike. You know, last year's game was crazy, and it's not credit to me. It's credit to John Vester who puts those videos together. He did something great. He put LeVon's play-by-play over the top of it and gave LeVon some credit. So thanks to John Vester, who we need to get on the air now at halftime officially. Yeah. He keeps asking. He'll come over and he's, so is tonight my night? Tonight my night? My night my show? So we got to get
guy.
Him up there.
He's a good guy.
You know, Jeff was talking about Kyle and what he brings to the table. When you looked at Pike coming out, and I've talked to you this off-air, I noticed it. I think LeVon noticed it as well. You guys were out there way before Pike was warming up.
You're talking about Saturday morning.
Yeah, on Saturday morning. Yeah. And Pike just, you know, literally walked out of the locker room. The Giants came out like it was Friday night.
We told him it was game day. Yeah. We said it's a new game, and it's a minute 44 game, so treat it like a game. We were, our coaching staff, Dan Schwanekamp and Chuck and Justin and Scott and those guys did a good job just telling our kids, just go play. Don't worry about what happens. Just go play. Because Friday night, you know, that we kind of buckled a little bit under the pressure, and our kids didn't respond very well at times. And on the bus ride home, I was very disappointed in how they responded towards each other. And we addressed that on Saturday morning. And I thought we came out with a little bit of pep in our step and just kind of went out and played football and saw what happened.
Yeah, and again, I kind of hit base with you about this a couple weeks ago here on Inside Ben Davis Football, and that was penalties. And if there was one thing that I think a lot of people remember from night one of this two-nighter or this two-day event, really, the start of the game, literally like 5-6 penalties in a row before a play. Well, the first play was a fumble, which I think was Tate's first of the year. But then after that, the penalties were like 5 or 6 in a row, really by both teams before we even got to play him.
Actually, we started off with a penalty, and then we had another penalty. Then Tate gashed him for 20 and fumbled. And that's how we started the game, which isn't a good way. And then our defense came out and jumped off sides twice. And their kids did too. It had a little bit to do with the emotions. You take away those four early penalties of the game, the penalties weren't as bad as they were against Cathedral. The game's very emotional. It's a West Side rivalry. The two teams respect each other, but that doesn't mean they like each other. And, you know, sometimes when you're over fired up to play a game, you mentally lose your focus. And we just kept telling the kids to calm down, you know, relax. It's four quarters. We'll take care of itself. So,
as a coach, how do you go about having to play on two different days to play one game?
That's tough. We did it 2 years ago. We did it with Warren Central and Terre Haute South, if my memory's right,
yep.
2 years ago, and it's tough. The nice thing is, unlike 2 years ago with Terre Haute South, where we got home at 1 in the morning, and then they wanted us to play at 10 a.m., which was awful, this one's nice and close. We elected. They came to me about 10:40 and said, hey, it's not going to clear out of here for several hours. We're going to go home. We're going to take our JV officials that were supposed to be at our place Saturday. We're going to take them. They'll be our officials for the varsity game. You take your JV kids with you. We'll play the JV game right after the varsity game. So, you know, we started on the 17-yard line at 10 o'clock in the morning, and at 10:10, the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
And the JVs were getting ready to go play their JV game. I mean, it was just kind of an odd night. You just got to find out who's got a little bit of moxie about them and who can handle the situation.
Well, you can believe it. We're already halfway through this here on Inside Ben Davis
Football. I was over-talking this beginning. I don't know.
But we will be right back here. We're going to get into Center Grove, which is this Friday. It's at home, so that's good, hopefully. But we'll take a 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
You can- WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at ClassicKings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football. Yet again, I'm LeVon Durden, joined by Jeff Robinson. John Easter.
Hey. I'm still here.
And, of course, Mike Kirscher, who is still
here. He didn't get up and leave after the first half.
Well, I'm going to see if I can get you with a fastball here and strike you out.
Uh-oh.
I doubt it.
Here it comes.
Probably not. You've been here
I usually swing for the fence.
Well, I think the biggest question...
Since I've been Davis baseball now, all of a sudden.
Well, one of the bigger questions that I think a lot of people are going to be wondering is the defense got blown out. The issue probably for the last week against Pike. Are we going to see changeups this week against Center Grove? Are we going to see new players take positions like you kind of switched up a little bit last week with Jalen Harlan?
You're going to see a couple things, more so not from a play standpoint, but from a injury standpoint. There's some kids that are pretty banged up from Friday night that won't play on this Friday. So there'll be some new kids that have to step up. To sit here and say I'm going to make wholesale changes would be foolish. I mean, we're 5 weeks into the season, going on six now from the beginning of practice. We got to tweak some things. And the thing you got to remember with Center Grove is they're a different style of offense versus a spread, throw it 40 times, get good athletes in space and let them play. They're a wing tee, knock you off the ball, control the line of scrimmage type offense. So it changes your mindset and what you got to do defensively. So the team we're playing sometimes dictates what we do and who plays in that actual game.
Will Dorian Tate play at all?
At this point, I would highly doubt it.
Okay.
You mentioned that wing tee. Eric Moore has won a lot of games using that wing tee offense. What are the tricks to being able to defend against a wing tee?
Well, obviously Eric Moore's great at it. He's a Hall of Fame coach. There's no doubt about that. What you get is you get a lot of pulling guards and kick out blocks and down blocks. So they're always working angles against you, trying to use your kids' angles against their angles to get guys in space. And what they really give you is, I think they got a very talented, very athletic young quarterback in Joey Seiderwitz. I think they've got three great running backs in Daggett, Titus McCoy, who's a sophomore who rushed for, I think, 1,000-plus yards last year as a freshman. And then you got Max Norris, who I think is just one of the best, most physical running backs we're going to see all year. And so they give you a three-headed monster running the ball and a quarterback who can run and throw, which presents a whole different set of problems for us. So they do such a great job. I think their defense is absolutely outstanding. They got a kicker that will kick it out of the end zone every time. We're not going to get any kickoff return this week. They just coach it very well. They haven't hardly given up any points in three games. And so it's going to be a huge challenge for us.
When you look at Eric Moore's scheme, and I think I've asked this question every year, and I'll ask it again. It's so well ingrained because it is literally from, that entire youth program, which mm-hmm. have a great youth program, all the way up, as do you guys. But it ingrained in whatever they do. They know that wing tee backwards, forwards, sideways. And, with Eric Moore, he's the one that brought really the wing tee back to Indiana. I know it's right. It's an old offense
sure.
when you look at
been
it.
Been around but, a long time.
So these kids really are well-schooled and know how to run that offense. What sort of problems does that present?
Well, it always presents problems, even at our freshman JV level, because it's the first time all year we're going to see it. The first three teams we played, none of them have run anything that resembles this, and now you're going to run into an offense that's well-schooled, fundamentally sound, does it the right way, and so you've got to discipline your kids in 4 days to what they're seeing. The guards are pulling, you're reading the guards, you're reading the backs, and then when you get so ingrained into reading and stopping the run, then they'll run that buck sweep boot pass out of it where, all right, you think it's a run, but it's not really a run because they're pulling the guards and everybody's downhill and they get in behind you. And it's a little bit of a problem, but we've done a pretty good job realistically, the last 4 years. I know 4 years ago we lost at home 21-14. 3 years ago we beat them there. I don't remember. I don't remember what
42-21-ish.
Yeah, maybe something
scored,
like that.
They scored late to make it 21,
yeah.
I think.
And then 2 years ago we lost here again 17-14. We missed a couple field goals late that would have tied it. And that was the game we lost Malcolm Fogle, which really hurt us with a punctured lung. And then last year we got them at their place again. It's kind of been home
right,
type
you've
deal.
Lost the last three here.
Yeah, yeah. And so
– in fact – we've
never,
head coach.
I've never beaten
him
at home.
Beat him at home.
I haven't told my kids yet that we haven't.
The last time was the 4-3 game. That
yeah,
was the last.
Yeah, was Tom Allen's last year. Yeah. Where we'd beaten him three. Tom Allen never, in his 3 years, he never lost to him. He beat him all three times. So it's a little bit of a, if whatever reason, whoever gets on the bus seems to play better when they get off the bus than the guy that's sitting there waiting for him, which kind of is odd. You know, it's kind of an odd thing. It's usually the other way. So they're just really good. I mean, you know, they're well coached. Their coaches do a great job. They know what they're doing, and they play well.
And a lot of times it's not the favorite either that wins this
right.
game.
Right. Last year we were, I don't know, what, 5-1 going the game? Or no, we were 4-2. We'd been hammered by St. X and Warren, and they were 6-0 and ranked, I think, 17th in the country or something. And we went there and we just executed a really good game. You know, but you got to remember, last year we'd flipped our offense after the Warren game. A lot of people don't realize that. We changed our offense.
Right.
I mean, we'd already done some of it. We decided we'd just go ahead and jump in with both feet. So we changed it the week we played Pike, even though we didn't have Kyle that game, and then had a pretty good game against Lawrence Central, and then really started clicking. And that's what you're seeing, the fruition of what we were doing then is what you're seeing now with our offensive set.
Something that was noticeable at Pike as well that I'm kind of interested to know what will happen this week was the kicking game obviously was not very well, but that forced you to go on fourth down quite a bit. In fact, I think there was only twice where you actually kicked the ball on fourth down situations. Is that same aggressiveness going to need to be played here against Center Grove, or are you willing to go back to trying the kicking game at some point, especially when this game is known to be close here at home?
Yeah, good question. It's really more of a game time situation. Right now, I'd say we're probably playing it on fourth down. Our field goal kicking is very he's got an unbelievable leg. I mean, he can absolutely thump a ball. In practice today, he was absolutely just killing it. But for whatever reason, right now, he's very inconsistent in games. We're trying to do some things differently in practice to kind of change maybe more pressure on him in practice, get him to maybe the game pressure's causing him. He's kicking off very well. Chris is doing a great job on kickoffs. We're putting 50% of our kickoffs in the end zone, which is helping our kickoff coverage. The problem is our kids are becoming dependent on it going in the end zone, and they're not busting their butts down the field for when it doesn't go in the end zone. So we're trying to correct that in practice. And our kickoff return team has not been nearly as efficient as we're used to. Last year we averaged every kickoff return to the 40, and right now we struggle to get it to the 20. We're not doing it well. So that was a live session tonight, and the kickoff team was a live session tonight, and the field goal team was a live session. And we don't normally do those live during the week, but we felt like we had to kind of correct some things.
Obviously, Center Grove's attack is built more around the run. The Sess, the other teams you've really faced have been throwing teams primarily. Mm-hmm. Assess really how your team has performed against the run thus far.
Well, so far pretty good. If you look at the stats, when our ones are out there playing, we've given up less than 200 yards rushing in three games. You know, now we've given up some late with some of our other kids in, but when our ones are in, our starting defense, we're giving up about 60 yards a game rushing, about 2 yards a carry. So we felt like we've been pretty good. Friday night they carried the ball 24 times for 50 yards, that's good against a team that has the ability to break runs like Pike's running backs do. And we felt like we did a pretty good job containing that. So we're pretty excited about being able to stop the run. And the problem is you got to stop all facets of the game, and that's what we haven't been doing at this point.
You know, we've talked a lot so far about the wing tee and what Eric Moore likes to do offensively, but really the strength of his team this year, besides the kicking game and special teams, is his defense. And talk a little bit about what they'll do.
Well, you've got a defensive line that is averages the one end is 6'4", the one tackle is 6'4", the other tackle is 6'2", and the other guy's 6 foot. They're all about 225, 245. Very athletic D linemen, and they are great on the run and generate great pass rush. You got linebackers who are downhill players, get in your face right now. And you got a secondary that understands. They're very smart kids. They're playing a lot of cover two, and the corners sit in a flat, and they got safeties ranging over the top. And there's a reason why they're only giving up, what, 13 points a game, something like that, 12 points a game. You know, as we're giving up 32 or 33 points a game. So big difference. So it's going to be a challenge for our offense to kind of find a way to dent the armor there a little bit and make some things happen. At the same time, it'll be a challenge for our defense to step up and rise to the occasion.
Your defense, again, bringing back to your defense, the defense has, again, struggled last week. Who are you looking to, not because I know you go in team play, but there's always that one person you probably will pull to the side and want to help the rest of the defense, you know, to work together as an overall one. Who's that person?
Well, it boils down to your leaders on the defense. You got to rely on Asmar Bilal, the linebacker. He's got to step it up more, not in his play. His play is unbelievable, but just his ability to lead everybody else around him. Norman Oglesby's another one. You know, Norman gets sometimes caught up in his play and doesn't realize he's a little bit of a leader of the team and how he responds to thing. And then the other guys, I mean, we're playing almost all seniors. You know, Chaz Stringer, Jalen Harden, Chris Parrish, Cortez Tenen, Christian Hunter, if he plays, you know, Jupri Minor, if he's able to go. Those guys are all seniors, and, you know, it's time to take some ownership into what you're doing.
When you look at Center Grove, you know, Eric Moore's seen everything. He's won a state championship. You talked about his Hall of Fame resume. What's it like to coach against him?
Fun. Because, you know he's going to bring out the best in you. You know, it's not like it's not like I'm going to go play somebody. I know we're going to win. It's not a big deal. I just want to get through the game, not get my kids hurt, you know, get off the field, go home. He brings out the best, just like Derek Moyers brings out the best, and Mark Bless brings out the best, and Rick Strife brings out the best. You're following that now with Center Grove. Then you got to follow that with Jason West, who's going to bring out the best.
A larger question. I mean, even the improvement that Lawrence North has shown this year, you've definitely seen some improvement up there. But the MIC as a whole, the coaching in the MIC is unreal.
Second to none. I don't know one coach that's not just busting their butt and making themselves better. You know, we've all got athletes. We can all sit here and say, you know, and we can say, well, you've got athletes. I coach at this school. You don't understand. Well, I've coached at those other schools. I've coached at Cascade, and, you know, and I know what kind of coaching we did there. I was the same coach at Cascade that I am at Ben Davis. That didn't change when I came over, but you still got to get the kids. I may have kids that are faster, but if I don't get them to line up right and execute right, and that was part of our problem on defense on Friday, was we weren't executing what was called. We weren't doing what they were taught, and that created some issues for us. And there's a whole lot that goes into it. You know, Eric Moore has some of the most talented kids, and you know he's always crying, "Woe is me," and we're a bunch of poor country boys out here. The reality is, he's got in the last 15 years, he's put more kids in the Big Ten than any school in the MIC, bar none. It's not even close. But he's created that. He's created that culture. He's developed those athletes. That's a credit to him. I'm not knocking him. You know, I'm just telling him he's not the "woe is me" kind of coach. He's a great coach. Great coach.
At this point in the season, I just saw the most recent USA Today rankings listing you 19th in the country. Is that a fair assessment, or do you feel that just puts a bigger target on your team?
Shoot, I don't know if that's fair. I mean, you're comparing. When they look at that, they look at your D1 athletes and whether you win or lose. You know, I know in 2001 we went 15-0 and finished fourth in the state in USA Today. And the number one team in the state that day was Apopka High School in Apopka, Florida. And Ron Darlington was the head coach down there at the time. He still is, in fact. And he sent us their film. And I'm watching the film. And that's the year we had James Banks. And we were pretty good. Everybody would say we were pretty good.
I think that's the number two team in Ben Davis history.
They would have absolutely murdered us. I've never seen kids run so many of them run so fast, and they were so big. You know, we had James Banks, who went to Tennessee, and we had a few other Division I kids. They signed 14 Division I kids off that team. So, you know, to sit here and say we're this, we're that, you know what? I don't know. I mean, it's all But it does put a, you know, if everybody keeps saying you're the best, then you better, we keep telling our kids every day, if you really think you're this good, then practice like it. And today I wouldn't say we practice like it. we practiced like we might have been 900th in the country.
Well, Mike Kirshner, it's again that time. Do you have any last words or anything you want to say?
It's a home game. We haven't been home in 3 weeks. Purple Rain, you've been great on the road. You need to be awesome at home. Get your butts up, get out there, pay the money to get in, and let's let them have it on Friday night.
Well, I want to say thank you all, Jeff Robinson, John Easter,
job,
and Mike
LeBron.
Kirshner, for joining us today. Again, the game is this Friday, 7 p.m. I think we're going to have sunny skies.
Hopefully. Hopefully. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful night for football, which is great with me.
So we'll see if the Giants can finally bring that home win. I know Coach Christian would probably love to have that.
Absolutely.
Next week, Tuesday, we'll be getting ready for the road game against Warren Central, which last year was a 24-7 loss. So there's a lot to probably be talked about there as well.
I don't think this will be a 53-50 game on Friday night. That's just my opinion.
And I don't expect 4-3.
I don't either.
No, I agree.
Well, we'll see.
I think it'll be closer if the 4-3 than 50-50.
Well, the Giants have average of have gotten no lower than 40 points a game. Yeah. But we'll
no
see
pressure.
If that continues.
No pressure.
Thank you also to Corey back in the studio tonight and putting us on the air. And from inside Ben Davis Football, I'm LeVon Dirty, and we'll send it back to the station here on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
Here we go.
So with 1:44 on the clock, 50-46, we're going to see Bojudo head into the huddle. Trudeau's going to decide to throw over to the right to Madera, and he drops the ball. So pretty much, they got to run it in 50 seconds. Touchdown will win it. Five wideouts say, Cashner standing in shotgun formation. Throws over to Bond. Bond's got room down the center of the field. Finally gets taken down at the 37-yard line. Throws, gets Gillis. Gillis tries to cut back out. Gets the first down and continues on his feet. Brits brought down to the 45-yard line. Five wideouts set again. Bond, Emerson, and Smith to the near side. Gillis to the far. Cashner stands back. Throws over the middle.
Pass interference. Oh. Very late pass interference call there.
And that's going to move him 15 yards forward. 25.2 seconds remaining.
Wow.
It's a four-point game. Kastner stands back in the pocket, throws quickly, gets Gillis.
First down. 18.6 seconds now.
Now in the red zone.
Oh.
Tipped in the air, nearly intercepted. Second and 10, ball still at the 18. 13.5 seconds remaining. Going deep end.
Oh, he's got it.
And he's got it. Touchdown, Giants.
Wow.
He gets the ball off to the 12 of Chris Evans. 1.2 seconds. Trudeau stands back in the pocket. He's got to look down the field. Has a man, and he tries to tap his back, but that will be no good. Incomplete pass, and the game is over. 53-50. The Giants will take the victory coming back after a rain delay game yesterday. They will beat the Pike Red Devils in a rivalry game. They will be 1-0 in the MIC and 3-0 on the season.
I got nothing.
One of the biggest problems in schools is bullying. Bullying can range from physical to mental. Bullying is one of the easiest things to spot, but one of the hardest things to stop. One of the biggest effects bullying has is depression. Although bullying is hard to stop, it's not impossible. If you are being bullied, the easiest way to stop being bullied is be yourself and ignore them.
It's now time for the Purple Rain Minute on Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
It's a home game. We haven't been home in 3 weeks. Purple Rain, you've been great on the road. You need to be awesome at home. Get your butts up, get out there, pay the money to get in, and let's let them have it on Friday night.
This is Dontre Graves again, your Purple Rain leader and WBDG on-air personality. Last week, we had a great turnout at Pike with the whiteout. This week, we have hip-hop night. We're going to have some good time tonight. We're going to win this game, stay undefeated. We had a thriller last week with the Giants coming back in the final minutes to beat Pike after a rain delay game. Thanks to everybody who came out Saturday morning to support the Giants through a long night and an early morning. We're going to need that same type of enthusiasm and support the next few weeks as we begin the MIC part of our schedule. We got Center Grove tonight. We got more MIC matchups. We got Lawrence Central in a couple weeks for homecoming. So keep the enthusiasm. Our team remains in the top 25 in the country and second in state. So we're going to need all the support we can get for our football Giants. Thank you and enjoy the football season.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Ben Davis. Beautiful run there by number 25, Manny Harris.
From WBDG.
Now it's time for WBDG's Player Perspective Time with your own Ben Davis Giants running back Manny Harris here on Manny Talk on Giants 9.9.
Hey, I'm back here on Manny Talk. Corey Clark here in the mic, joined by the one, the only Manny Harris, the running back of the Giants. Manny, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm feeling pretty fine.
You doing? All right, good. Big game coming up against Center Grove Trojans. We are now 3-0, 1-0 in the MIC, 3-0 in the season. But another big game to talk about before we mentioned Center Grove was last week, that rivalry game against Pike, Red Devils, and that was a 53-50 Ben Davis Giants win. But going into it, the Giants, it's like they started off slow in the beginning. They got those points up. They were up by a big margin, a 4-3 touchdown lead, I think. And then it just kept getting closer and closer. And eventually, at the end of the fourth quarter, third quarter, you guys just started switching leads. And then with about a minute 44 left, the game had to stop because of severe thunderstorms. Yeah. And you guys had to go into the locker rooms and wait a little bit. Then you had to go home and start the game the next day at 10 a.m. Just give me the route. Like, how'd that game go before even the thunderstorm? How'd you guys feel about the game going? You guys started a big lead, and then it started getting closer and closer. Did you guys worry and start getting, like, scared?
Yeah, we were worried, a little bit mad at each other. Not really mad at each other, but just mad at the fact that they were able to score points on us, score that many points on us, and us being ahead in the game and letting them catch back up on us was pretty upset.
Yeah, and Pike, they're usually a big competitive between you guys two. And again, the rivalry continues. As this is another chapter in rivalry, and you know it's going to get more and more intense coming down the road. And you'll probably see them again coming up in sectionals like it always plans out. But this time, you guys beat them in the regular season like you did last year and lost to them in sectionals last year. But I guarantee you guys don't plan on having that happen again.
Yeah.
All right, well, give me the rundown. Minute 44 left, the game stops. You guys, 3rd and 11 from the 17-yard line for the defense. I know you're on offensive special teams, but just give me the momentum of the fan side. Right when the thunderstorm struck and the game got called, how did you guys all react getting on that bus and going home the next day and have to come play again? Your momentum get, like, bigger and pumped? Are you guys worried you're going to lose? How'd that really, like, react to the game?
For some of us, most of us, I mean, we were pretty confident. You know, we've been conditioning really hard this year, and, you know, we knew we would be ready. So we got on the bus, you know, it was a new game, and we tried to forget about last night and try to come tomorrow, the next day, with a lot of energy and hoping we can finish this game, and that's what we did. We finished the game.
Yeah, I got the final drive. You guys have already heard it as on this pregame show as Kyle Cassiter led his group 80 yards for a scoring drive to end up passing a touchdown on the left side to Chris Evans. And once Chris Evans caught that touchdown pass, how did the energy on the sideline go from big to, like, even better? You guys got all pumped, and I'm sure.
We were excited, man. We were just shocked and, I mean, really just excited. You know, we have a lot of great players, and, you know, it was just crazy how we just marched down the field in 50 seconds and scored. But, I mean, then again, it's always practice. You know, we do two-minute drill almost every single day, so it's just practice.
I mean, it even helps when you have one of the top quarterbacks in the state, Kyle Kastner. Yeah. All right, well, moving on. Well, about that game, one of your good buddies, we talked about him last week, Heavenly, Dorian Tate, who had a big game the week before that. But Dorian Tate played for about a quarter, and we didn't see him the rest of the day. So we heard later on that he had a concussion, and he has a concussion. How's he been doing this week, and what's the game plan for him coming up against Center Grove?
He's been doing fine this week. Been doing a couple exercises to try to recover faster so he can be back as soon as possible. But he's doing fine.
All right, that's good. So if we don't see Dorian Tate, more likely it's going to be Chris Evans in the backfield, who carried the load last week. Chris Evans is really just another dynamic duo you have in that backfield because that backfield's stacked.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, Center Grove Trojans, something you guys have to, like, think about. Center Grove, they were on the wing tee offense. The defense, I'm sure, that always gives defenses trouble. The offense may not be as strong as it normally has been, but that wing tee just makes it even harder. You guys have lost them 3 straight times when they come here to Giant Stadium, and then we've beaten them 3 straight times when you travel them at Center Grove. The last time you guys played them was last year, though. They were actually number one in the state, like you guys are in many of the polls, and they were undefeated just like we are now. Are you guys looking forward? You're not going to let anything happen there, basically. So, like, what's the game plan going in the Center Grove?
going to play Center Grove, you know, like you said, we lost three times consecutive, you know, here. But it's a new year. It's a new game. You know, we have new players. You know, it's, everything is just brand new. Playing them, I think we'll be pretty focused on what our jobs are doing instead of just focusing on other people's jobs and what other people need to do and basically just the team, but mostly just focusing on what we need to do in order for us to accomplish the team goals.
Yeah, if Center Grove does lose this game, they'll be 0-3 in the MIC, which hasn't happened in a very long time. And you guys will be 2-0 atop of that conference of Carmel, Warren, and all them who's coming up. And you got big games coming up in Carmel and Warren in the next couple weeks. I know next week's Lawrence North. But really, to start focusing on, you got to really get focused on Center Grove tonight. So going into Center Grove Trojans game, you know, a lot of people I've talked to have said this game shouldn't even be close, just like the Pike game shouldn't be close. But what are you guys going to do, have to do different? Like, has Coach Kirscher talked to you guys more about how closing games, how you guys got to make it a bigger margin, like Cathedral game? You guys were able to bring in the backups.
Focus, like I said, man, just really focusing on our jobs, you know, taking accountable of what we did wrong, you know, playing the next play and not worrying about the last play and beating ourselves up about it and, you know, carrying it out and through the game, you know, just focusing on what we need to do in order for us to come together to win as a team.
All right, well, good luck this week, man. Looking for another 2-0 start in the MIC and a 4-0 start overall, actually, to start off the season. Big games coming up. That was Manny here on Manny Talk. We'll see you guys next week.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings, on the web at classickings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Ball comes loose. Giants look to have recovered, and they have.
Welcome to the MIC, freshmen. Welcome to the MIC.
Now it's time for MIC Talk with your host, LaVon Durden.
Welcome to another edition of MIC Talk with LaVon. Last week, the MIC was stretched in a night of bizarre action. All eight MIC teams did battle against one another, showing who was better. Two of the four games on Friday were able to be finished before the drastic thunderstorms took over. One game was called early, while another met Saturday morning to finish less than 2 minutes of play. With the second week of MIC against MIC action, there's no telling what will happen this week. This week, the 0-3 North Central Panthers take on MIC opponent Lawrence North, who is also 0-3. This past week, North Central was shut out in a storm-shortened game against Warren Central. The final score was 32-0. Meanwhile, Lawrence North took on township rival Lawrence Central. The game was finished, but not before an unhappy final score of 13-51. Lawrence North has now lost 23 consecutive games. North Central has won the last four games of this series, including two sectional matchups over the last 2 years. The last win for Lawrence North came on September 9, 2011, with a final score of 14-9. Game time start will be at 7 p.m. Another MIC matchup this Friday will be the 1-2 Lawrence Central Bears at the undefeated MIC-leading 6A defending champions, the Lawrence Central Bears. Lawrence Central came off a 51-13 win over township rival, the Lawrence North Wildcats. The Lawrence Central Warriors also came off a victory last week on a storm-shortening event with the North Central Panthers. The score was 32-0. Last year, the Bears lost to Warren in both meetings, including a 14-0 shutout in the sectional championship. LC's last win came in their undefeated 5A championship season on October 26, 2012, which they won 21-14. Game time start will be at 7 p.m. Carmel this week will host the Pike Red Devils. Carmel came off a win over Center Grove in the battle for the Copper Kettle. The score was 21-14. Pike, on the other hand, finished their game Saturday morning against rival Ben Davis after scoring for them. They lost 53-50. Last year, Pike lost to the Greyhounds 40-32 in a game that was televised on ESPN. Game time will also be at 7 p.m. The final matchup and the MIC game of the week pins the undefeated, ranked top 20 nationally Ben Davis Giants against the Center Grove Trojans. Last week, Ben Davis beat rival Pike 53-50, while Center Grove lost to rival Carmel 20-14. The last 3 years, the home team between these two teams have been undefeated walking into the game and have lost. This includes last year when Center Grove was 6-0 until they lost to the Giants 37-20. Game time as well will be 7 p.m. Eight teams, four games, and with tons of action, the MIC Conference is sure to not disappoint. I'm LeVon Dernan, and this has been another Mick Talk.
High school football. At the Mick level, one or two plays here or there can make a difference, and both Center Grove and Ben Davis know that value firsthand. The Trojans enter tonight's game a play or two from being either 3-0 or 0-3. That said, they're 1-2, with a comeback win over Whiteland and a pair of close losses to Mick foes Carmel and Warren Central. Center Grove is loaded on defense and is struggling a bit offensively. The Ben Davis Giants enter the game this evening just a couple of plays from being 2-1. Instead, the Giants had some luck on their side and took advantage of Pike mistakes to come back in the final minute 44 of last week's game to win it 53-50. Ben Davis quarterback Kyle Caster has his offense humming like a sweet muscle car engine, but the defense and special teams have looked very mortal at times. The good news for both teams is that whatever happens tonight, there are plenty of opportunities to correct all of their issues. Recently, it's been a bit of an odd series, with the road team taking the victory in the last five meetings. Center Grove has beaten Ben Davis three straight times in Giants Stadium, and the Giants are eager to turn that around this evening. For the 21st time in this running series, Ben Davis battles Center Grove. Live from Giants Stadium, the game is next. This Ben Davis Sports Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Classic Kings.
First and goal from the 15. Levinson Robinson split wide to left. I formation behind Gray. Williams is the tailback. Porter the fullback. Gray takes it. Hands it off to Porter up the middle. He's at the five. It's touchdown over. It's over. It's
ben
over.
Ben Davis wins on the defensive column of Porter.
And now we go live to the stadium with the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.